Oh, Jesus, we love you. Praise you. Title of my message is 2020 Vision of Jesus. A little play on words there, obviously, for the new year. So let's pray. Father, but we're serious. We want to have 2020 vision of you. We want to see you clearer. We want to see you brighter than we ever have before, Lord. During this year, we want to know who you are, more of you. We'll be learning about you forever, but help us to see you. Open the eyes of our hearts to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, and pour out your power and glory upon us as we study your word and call you holy, holy, holy. We start this year, this first service of this new year, 2020, Lord, by receiving your body and your blood together, communion, to be in one heart, one mind, one accord. Holy Spirit, help us to know all that Jesus accomplished for us through his body and his blood on that cross, as he was led to the slaughter like a lamb, but he opened not his mouth. And no one made him do it. He did it because he loved us. He laid down his life for us because he loves us. He did it to save us. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible plan of salvation. Thank you for the new covenant. Thank you for being willing to work with the Father together in the Holy Spirit to bring the new covenant to us, that we could be the temple of God, that you would now come and live and dwell in each one of us, and we would live and dwell in you. We praise you, Lord. You're so wonderful and so awesome. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead, guide, and teach us. Help me to speak the words boldly, clearly, with authority, but most of all, to speak the truth in love. Help the hearts be ready to receive. Let all these seeds of the word go into good ground, and let it bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold for you. And we just thank you that the devil is not going to touch it and steal it, but it's going to do what it accomplishes, sent forth to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 2020 vision of Jesus. So we've entered the new year of 2020. And the first thing that most of us think of when we hear 2020 is what? Is our vision. We've all heard the eye doctor tell us after examining our eyes, that you have 20/20 vision. So since this is our first church service for the year 2020, and we're receiving communion together, it's a perfect time for us to examine our spiritual eyes and be sure that we have at least 20/20 vision of what it is that Jesus accomplished for us through his body and blood, as he was led as a lamb to the slaughter on the cross, to die for our sins. So when most people hear the term 20/20 vision or find out that they have 20/20 vision, they understand that to mean that they have perfect vision. 20/20 vision does not mean having perfect vision. When the optometrist says that you have 20/20 vision, he's referring to your visual acuity, which is the clarity or sharpness of your vision. When the doctor tests for 20/20 visual acuity, he's testing how well your eyes can see an object at a distance of 20 feet. If you can see the letters clearly, then you are considered to have normal vision. The number 20/20 indicates that you can see objects clearly at a distance of 20 feet compared to other people. So today, as we come together for the first service of 2020, to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, to remember all that he's done for us, may the Holy Spirit help us to be able to see with our spiritual eyes of faith what Jesus accomplished for us through his body and blood. Help us to see clearly, help us to see sharp, sharper than we ever have before, what he did as he was being led as a lamb to the slaughter on the cross. And of course, the best place to get a clear vision, to a clear view of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross through his body and blood, is from the Word of God. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And here's the verse that we really want to focus on, what Jesus accomplished for us. Not only did he make us brand new creations and give us brand new life in him, and make us ambassadors for him. But Paul tells us that God himself has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a powerful, powerful verse. Let me read it from a more modern version. He made him who knew no sin to become a sin offering on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What an incredible exchange that God has given us. When we trust in Jesus, we make an exchange. He takes our sin and he makes us right with God. He took all of our sin upon him to make us right with God, to put all of God's goodness in us, to make us new creations in Christ, to give us a new life, to establish the new covenant. Our sin was laid on Christ at his crucifixion. So think about this. You know, in the world, when you're trying to make a deal with somebody or you're bartering with someone, the way that works is when two people exchange goods, but both of their goods are of relative equal value. They're almost of the same value. But this deal that God made is just amazing for us, because he offers to trade his righteousness for our sin. That's what Jesus has done for us. Something of immeasurable worth for something completely worthless. He takes our sin and makes us right with God. How grateful that we are for his loving kindness to us. And where does Paul get this from? This verse comes from Isaiah chapter 53, where Isaiah paints a perfect picture and gives us a real view, a real clear view of exactly what Jesus accomplished for us through his body and blood on the cross. So let's turn there to Isaiah 53. We'll start in verse 4. I'm going to read from the King James Version, then I'll read a more modern version. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. A more modern version translates it like this. The fact is, it was our suffering that he took on himself. But we thought that God was punishing him, that God was beating him for something that he did. We know that he wasn't. He was beating him for what we did. He was literally taking the wrath of God upon himself for our sins. But he was being punished for what we did. He was crushed because of our guilt. He took the punishment that we deserved, and this brought us peace. We were healed because of his pain. Isn't that awesome? We all had wandered away like sheep. We had gone our own way, and yet the Lord put all our guilt, all our sin, all our iniquities on him. That's what Jesus accomplished for us with his body and blood on the cross. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And both Peter and Paul, when they quote these verses in the New Testament, are taking them directly from Isaiah 53. It's what the Holy Spirit had showed them through Isaiah 53. But look at how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, talking about Jesus. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree or on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. You see, it's all about him taking our sin, getting rid of our sin so we can die to sin so that we can live for righteousness and that we can be the righteousness of God. We could have never, ever made ourselves right with God by anything that we tried to do. We would have been lost forever. We would have had all that pain and suffering and anger and wrath of God that Jesus took on the cross, we would have to take eventually ourselves on Judgment Day. But he loved us so much, he did not want us to have to face Judgment Day and take that wrath. And he also loved us so much that he wanted to bring us back to himself, to reconcile, to restore us in right relationship with him so we could have an intimate relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Peter says, He himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So we're talking about spiritual healing here. We're talking a lot more than healing. We're talking about spiritual new birth, because in Ephesians, Paul tells us that we were spiritually dead before we came to Christ. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but he has made us alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. For you were like sheep going astray, right out of Isaiah there. For you were like sheep going astray. I love what Peter says, though, in verse 25. But have now returned to the shepherd and guardian or overseer of your souls. Praise God. We have returned. We've returned to him. And then in chapter 3, verse 18, Peter tells us this. Christ himself suffered when he died for you, and with that one death, he paid for your sins. Amen? He was not guilty, but he died for us who were guilty. The just for the unjust. He did this, why? To bring us all back to God. Isn't that awesome? Romans chapter 8, verse 3. I'm just giving you pure scripture today because the words of God are a lot more powerful than my words. The words of God are alive and powerful. Romans 8, verse 3. The law was without power because it was made weak by our sinful selves or by our flesh. But God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son to earth with the same human life that everyone else uses for sin. God sent him to be an offering to pay for sin. So God used his human life, talking about Jesus, to destroy sin. That's real simple. Jesus came to deliver us from the penalty and power of sin and give us a brand new life and establish a new covenant. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It's all about redemption. It's all about love. It's all about saving. It's all about delivering. It's all about giving us the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And why did he do it? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's all new covenant right there. That's what the new covenant is. The old covenant, they did not receive the Spirit of God. They couldn't be born again. Thank God for the new covenant. Now we receive forgiveness of sins. The curse of sin and death is taken off of us, and we receive new life, and we receive God's Spirit so he can now live in us. Hallelujah. And who is Jesus? Hebrews. Who is the one that was made sin for us? Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. Therefore he, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us. And here's a description of Jesus. This is the reason that he could save us. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. 1 John 3:5 also tells us, 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, and you know this, that he was manifested for what? To take away your sins. And in him, there is no sin. He was the sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God, the only sacrifice that would ever be powerful enough to accomplish what Jesus accomplished. His body and blood. Also, we could have his righteousness. He took all the sin, did everything he could do to destroy the penalty and power of sin. Why? So we could have his righteousness. So we could be in right standing with him. So we could have his goodness. So we could have new life. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Here it is. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience, talking about Jesus on the cross, many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Because God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son to earth with the same human life that everyone else uses for sin. But instead, God sent him to be an offering to pay for our sin. So God used the human life, human and divine life of Jesus, to destroy sin. He did this so that we could be right, just as the law said that we must be. Now we don't live following our sinful selves, but we live following the Spirit. It's very simple, but it's the truth. That is a clear picture of what Jesus did for us through his body and blood on the cross. He became sin from us. He saved us, delivered us, set us free from sin, purchased us with his body and with his blood so that we could be the righteousness of God, so that we could be right with God, and that we would no longer be under the power of sin in our life. We'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't live in the flesh anymore, but we would live by the power of the Holy Spirit, a holy life, serving him, loving him, doing what he has called us to do for him. Amen? Let's have the ushers go ahead and pass out the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Just think about that. Focus on that. He delivered us with his body and with his blood. Go ahead. He delivered us from the penalty and the power of sin. In this new year, 2020, he wants you to live a new covenant life as a new creation. Live your new life filled with the Spirit of God, following the Spirit of God, listening to the Spirit of God, obeying the Spirit of God when he speaks to you. Be filled with his righteousness. Be instruments of righteousness. Let our eyes, our spiritual eyes, have that 2020 vision to be filled with Jesus. Not filled with the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the material things. We need to stay focused on Jesus. Amen? May we be more focused on Jesus this year in 2020 and what he wants us to do for him and serving him than we have ever been before. But it all starts right here. If you don't have this foundation, if you don't know the true reason that Jesus came to earth to save us for, then you're not going to be solid in your walk with Jesus. You're not going to be able to follow him. You're not going to be able to really see him for who he really is. Are you ready to receive the body and the blood of Jesus? Every time we do this, we're preaching the gospel. We're declaring that we know the true gospel. What he accomplished for us with his body and his blood. Paul says that, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Remember the Lord's broken body. Remember the price that he paid for us. Remember all that he had to go through to take all that sin upon us from the time of when he instituted the communion, the Last Supper, to Gethsemane, to the time when they came to take him away, to the trials, to the beatings, to the whippings, the scourgings, carrying his cross up to the cross, being nailed to the cross, and finally dying on the cross and having his blood spilled out when the spear was stuck into his side. All that was what it cost to pay for our sins so that we could be the righteousness of God in him. We're nothing without him. So, Lord, we thank you for your precious body. Thank you for your body which was broken, ripped, torn apart for us so that we could have access to God, so that we could come back to Father God. Thank you for bringing us back to Father God and into his family, making us the children of God. It only happened through you, through your body and blood. Let's receive the body of the Lord. Stripes, Lord, by your stripes, by your piercings, by your wounds, we are healed. Thank you, Lord, for healing us, spirit, soul, and body. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying this: "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And for some reason, Paul left this out, but I'm going to say what Jesus said in Matthew. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And Jesus said, added to that in Matthew 26:28, "which is shed for the forgiveness of many sins." Shed for many of us for the remission, for the forgiveness of our sins. "This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's receive the blood of the Lord together. And we declare, as the old song says, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He purchased us from every tribe, tongue, and nation to bring us back to God. He keeps hammering that. Even in John, even the book of Revelation, it says that. The reason that he purchased us was what? To bring us to Father God. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by faith in me and believing what he did for us. Only through his death, burial, and resurrection. We cannot count on anything else. If you're counting on anything else than what Jesus did for us with his body and blood on that cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, then you'll be lost forever. But if you put your faith in Jesus, the gospel, that he came, that he died for our sins, just like the scriptures said, and on the third day God raised him from the dead, just like the scriptures said he would, to prove that he is the perfect sacrifice. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God was slain for us to receive all glory and honor and power and riches. Talking about 2020 vision, Jesus said this in Luke 10:23-24. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, to hear what you hear and have not heard it." Thank God that he has opened our spiritual eyes and given us 2020 vision to clearly see who he really is and to see all that he's accomplished for us with his body and blood through his life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and his second coming, because he is coming again to take us home if we don't get raptured before then. Either way is good. So this year, here's my prayer. In 2020, I pray, this is really Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 that Pete was praying this morning, because this is what we really want. In 2020, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will help us hear the Holy Spirit better, that he will let us know the truths about God and help us understand them. Revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what that means. That he will let us know the truths about him and help us really understand them. Why? So we can know him better. Because when we know him better, we can help others know him better. Amen? That's what it's all about. Knowing him to make him known. I pray that the spiritual eyes of our understanding will be opened to see his truth so that we may know what? What is the hope of his calling? That we will know the blessing that God has promised his holy people and are rich and glorious. Paul says that we would understand the inheritance of the saints. Modern version says it this way. We want to know the blessings that God has promised his people. We want to know how rich and glorious they are. And what's the last thing he says? We want to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. We want to know the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that Jesus said we would receive from on high. We want to walk in that power. We want to live in that power. We want to know that power this year like never before. Amen? This Holy Spirit power that works in us is the same as the mighty strength which God used when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right side, at his right side in the heavenly places. That's a lot of power. The power that it takes to recreate us, give us new life, and fill us with the Holy Spirit is the same power that it took for him to raise Jesus from the dead and then set him at his right hand. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes us new creatures in Christ and gives us new life. That's the new covenant. For a new year. Amen? Oh, Lord, we just pray right now. In 2020, let our vision of Jesus be clearer and sharper than ever. And let us say, as it says in Hebrews 12, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Or he's the one on whom our faith depends from the very beginning to the end. Amen? Amen. Let's worship the Lord.